It's a new year, new decade, new episode. Hello and welcome to Capture, the show where I talk with artists of all kinds to discuss their craft and how it affects their daily life. Today, I talk with Visuals of Julius, a famous photographer and compositor on the app Instagram. Please welcome Julius to the show. So for listeners out there that don't know what kind of art you produce, what's like, how would you describe your medium and what you do?
I would say that it started off more as complete digital art, which means that I composited a lot of images into each other from other people's images. But now recently it has shifted more towards me creating art out of my own images, and I'm heading more towards of the side of fine art, landscape photography, but I also have my own original style, which keeps it a bit more magical and still a bit more on the unrealistic side. So it's a mixture between photography, but then with, like what I said, a mix. So then there's the digital art side that I still put a lot into it in Photoshop. But I would say that I've tuned it down quite a lot from the beginning. So I'm not doing crazy, crazy composites anymore. But yeah, there are times when I definitely feel like now today is the day when I want to just create something completely different from what I'm like used to creating now for the past, like I would say 5 months. So yeah, I still have those times when I just want to composite 10, 15 photos together and then just create something out of it. So that's what I would say is sort of my medium and what I do on Instagram.
So as far as a composite, there are obviously a ton of photos, especially on your Visuals of Julius courses account on Instagram. You can see how many photos go into one of your composites. But walk me through your like process, the basic steps of your process of creating a composite and what you do from start to finish.
All right. So it all starts from having a base image. And that base image is usually from my travels where I've been recently. I was to Iceland. And on my Instagram, the patients shift quite a lot because I usually get inspired by one country. I'm like, oh, like I haven't checked my Indonesia images in ages. Just check one base image from there. Let's say it would be, for example, from a beach, and it would just be a nice sunset at the beach. And then I started to think in my mind, what would I want to fill this scene with? And there's a lot of elements in my style, waves and lighting and magical colors and stuff like that. So I could, for example, think there's a nice sunset on this beach, but I could also turn this into a night and add some sort of a magical element, like a wave, for example. I have my glowing wave, basically the style that I do. And I would then just search all the images from my library that I need. It would be a wave, a night sky, then that sunset beach image. And then let's say if I want to then fill that scene also with some sort of a frame. So it could be some sort of a tree, like leave a silhouette on the left side, or then it could be just a cliff on either side of the images. So I usually always try to think the composition first, and then I search for the images, and then I come up with the composition. So I cut everything out from the original images, I paste them into the project, and then after I've basically come up with the main composition, have I masked everything, then starts the blending. So it's always first idea, find the photos, mask them out, then put them into the project and come up with the composition in Photoshop once the objects are cut out from their original images, and then I start blending in. And my blending techniques are quite simple, but they're really effective. And once I blended it, then I color graded a bit. I put it through Lightroom or Camera Raw and then I just move it to my phone. So that's basically how the creative process works. I'm not going to go in depth here now in all the details, like how to mask and all that, because it's an audio form, so it wouldn't make any sense. But basically, that's how it works. My creative mindset behind the images that I nowadays create.
So how long does that take you on an average? Like, what's your average time for each composite?
I would say nowadays it's crazy how fast it is nowadays. So let's go back 3 years in time when I started out and I didn't have photos by myself. It took me 6 to 9 hours to create one image on average, I would say. Probably closer to the 8 hour mark on average. But nowadays something similar takes me 20 minutes. So I've sped up my workflow by hours and hours and hours. And that's all thanks to all the techniques that I use nowadays and how used to I am to the program. It's really easy for me to navigate through the program. I know all the shortcuts, and it saves me a lot of time knowing so much about the program and knowing what I want to create. And I think a lot of creators spend more time on thinking like what I want to do instead of just doing. So that takes like hours from the creative process when you're just like testing objects and testing this and that. But for my, well, I usually always know what I want. I might try something out, and if it doesn't fit, I move on and I try something else. But I don't let that creative block sort of distract me in a way that it will take me longer to get the piece done. I just test something. If it doesn't work out, I move on, and then I slowly start building the edit. But since I'm so fast at doing it nowadays, it takes me 20 to 30 minutes to finish a composite base. And then, of course, if I do anything more complicated, let's say I combine 15 images together, then it would be probably closer to the hour mark. But it's like way less than 2 hours nowadays, which is pretty awesome, because I can edit really quickly, and then it won't take that much time out from my day like it used to. So I have time for the business, and I have time for my friends and family and everything. So the creative process, let's put it in a way that it doesn't really it's like sort of a thing that goes on the side. I love doing it, and it doesn't bother my daily routines, which is awesome. So yeah.
So speaking of composites and how you began with that, because that's a very specific art form, it's not just like as broad as photography itself, what was your inspiration and how did you discover it?
Let's start from how did I discover it. So the way how I discovered this was that I got my first camera from my grandpa when I was back then in 2016. I was 15, 16 years old, and basically my dad had gotten a camera from his grandpa, but he never used it. So then I asked one day, "Can I please try it out?" And I went out shooting. And immediately fell in love with photography, and I got interested in how to edit my photos. And then when I YouTube something like how to edit images, first thing that popped up was Lightroom. So I started picking up Lightroom. But then while I was watching those videos, I got introduced to Photoshop videos and Photoshop tutorials, and something about just being able to composite and create whatever you want out of the images that you have interested me so much that I gave it a try. And then I was basically huge, like straight from the beginning, and since then I've just been practicing every single day, and it's been an interesting ride. And in the beginning when I started out, of course on Instagram there were a lot of creators that I followed, like Ronald Dong, Noise7, Kellen Swirled, and all these big digital artists that I looked up to when I started out. But as we all artists probably feel the same, is that in the beginning you sort of trying to find your own style and your own path, but you still end up sort of copying or trying to create things that another big creator is doing. And that's how you learn, in my opinion, the best. So if you go all the way back to my first images that I ever created, they might remind a lot of someone else's style, because I was so heavily inspired by these big creators. Yeah, by daily creating, I've developed my own style, but there was definitely a big influence from the creators that I just, for example, mentioned.
So with those composites, which one do you think advanced your career the most? I don't want to say got you the most, like what you learned from the most, and what advanced your career the most in a single composite.
So it's actually a pretty interesting story. I was in high school already, and what I was doing was being so focused on editing that I started skipping school sometime, and I definitely don't recommend anyone to start doing that. But what I did sometimes was that I skipped school to just create something, and the main reason why I had to skip school was that the night before that I probably had stayed up until like 5 a.m. or something crazy, just editing and practicing. So in the morning at 8 a.m. after 3 hours of sleep, of course a 16-year-old or 17-year-old, well, just doesn't have the energy to perform at all. So what I did, I went to the local pizza place, bought some pizza, came back home, started creating, and then later I basically just posted that edit without me even still understanding that much about Instagram. So that was at the point in 2017 when I had maybe been editing for like 5-6 months, and it was constant daily practice, and then that one image just blew up that day when I skipped school. So sometimes when I tell the story, people are like, oh, so is basically the lesson of the story that don't like remember to skip school to achieve your dreams? No. But I basically created that image and posted it, and then I went to the gym like I normally did at the time, 5 times a week, and then I came home and I checked my phone, and my phone had exploded of notifications, and at that point I still had my Instagram notifications on. So when I came back home, my phone was just like just notifications everywhere, and I had grown like 1,000 followers within a couple of hours, and I was just like completely shocked about like all the response that went into that particular image. And for the listeners, if you're interested to see which one that is, if you scroll all the way down pretty much to the beginning of my Instagram feed, there's an image with lanterns and one of those torii gates from Japan, and yeah, it's a bluish image, and something about that basically kicked off on Instagram. It ended up being one of the most shared art pieces on Instagram in 2017 on the digital art photography niche. And it basically kickstarted my career, because I went from 6,000 followers all the way up to like 30,000 in just a couple of months after posting that image. And of course, because millions and millions of people saw that image, then I got contacted to my email from like pretty influential people, like the ex-owner of MySpace, and he sort of mentored me with everything in the beginning and built my confidence up, and which was definitely needed, because my confidence at the time wasn't that big or that good, because I come from a small town, never had really that many friends, and never was introduced to like the, how would you say, like a bigger world, mm-hmm. idea of basically what the world was even about in a lot of areas. So yeah, it was definitely the kickstarting point for my career, and I'm very, very thankful for the people who helped me in the beginning to build up my confidence with creating even a successful business out of it, like I'm currently doing. But yeah, that was the image that kickstarted it, and since then it's been just constant daily work. And that has led to the situation where I'm.
Speaking of how you mentioned before, how you're taking your own photos now, I know you've mentioned it works for some people and it doesn't work for others. What are the pros and cons of that method?
Basically pushed me to download 100 free stock images from websites like Unsplash or Pixabay or Pexels. And the problem with that usually for creators is that most of the time in the creative process doesn't go into the creating itself, it goes into trying to find the best possible images for your art piece. And my dream always was to travel around the world and take the images myself and build sort of like a huge pile of images that I can always go to and take, with folders like skies, people, rocks, cliffs, trees, and all of these different folders are just full of my own images that I can use, instead of me having to go to these stock image websites and spend hours and hours trying to find the one image that I need. So I would say, like, the biggest con to editing out of stock images is that, first, you're usually not gonna have a similar quality in all of the images, because first off, they might be edited already, and most of them are taken with a different camera. So you're not only combining edited images, but you're also combining images that I've taken with a different camera, and that leads into a quality in your artwork. So the biggest pros basically about me creating out of my own images is that everything is taken with the same camera, so the quality is the same. And also, I can categorize my images, and I remember the locations where I've gone to. And by having this huge library of photos, editing becomes hours and hours faster, because you immediately know, hey, I shot this tree in Indonesia. Hey, I need this human for my edit, and I remember that I shot that in France. So then I just go into those corresponding folders on my hard drives, and I immediately find what I need for my artwork. And basically, that's the biggest difference. It just takes a lot of time creating out of someone else's images, plus the quality is not going to be even near as good as it's going to be when you take the images by yourself. And so, I also forgot to mention that one pretty bad thing about the stock images is that if you download the most popular stock images, your images and edit up looking like a lot of others' images, because there's millions of people using those same images for their art pieces. So yeah, taking images by yourself also strives you to be a bit more unique with my work, with your work. And that's basically my hashtag short answer, even though it wasn't really that short.
So if someone has a camera like you did from your grandfather, and they wanted to create composite images, and they had the time to go out and take photos, would you suggest that they do that?
Yeah, definitely. The best, I mean, for digital art, the only like creating in Photoshop is not going to be enough. You also need to develop a skill for understanding lighting, understanding how shadows work in the nature, understanding textures, understanding how reflections and everything sort of displays in the nature. And to understand that better, the best way to do it is just to grab a camera. Doesn't need to even be an actual camera. It can be your phone. But just that you are out in the nature, you start basically understanding more about how different things work in the nature, and that will lead you being able to think more in Photoshop when you're editing that, hey, how would this reflection now work in real nature? Mimic that. Because a lot of people's problem is that they have these ideas that they want to do, especially about landscape ideas. Mm-hmm. And when they start combining the photos, they forget that you actually have to make it look in the nature. And that's the hard part. And if you don't have the understanding how nature works, then it's way harder to do that. But definitely, if you just have a camera or a possibility to go scout the nearby areas of your home, that's like the best practice for you in order to create more realistic art.
Yeah, interesting. So learning how light like interacts with objects and things like that.
Exactly. All of that. Yeah.
So I have a fun like game. Every person that we have on the show, we do a 60-second rapid fire questionnaire. These are questions that are quick and are like this or that. So the question like leads to a more accurate answer. You have less time to think about it. So when you're ready, we can get started with that.
Yeah, let's do it.
So JPEG or RAW?
RAW.
Photoshop or Lightroom?
Photoshop.
Canon or Sony?
Canon.
Morning or evening?
Morning.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Okay, that's all of them. I gotta do more of those because everyone gets through them really quickly. But I'm wondering what your choice was on. So you chose Photoshop, right?
Yeah, of course.
So,
Naturally.
yeah, so is that because it's more valuable for you, or why do you value Photoshop over Lightroom?
Well, I'm a digital artist, so the simple answer to that is that Lightroom doesn't give you the chance to composite anything into your images, and Photoshop just basically allows you to do that. But if we would go in depth, like how, like why do I love Photoshop so much more over Lightroom, it would be like an hour's ongoing conversation about the pros and cons in both of those programs. But basically, quite shortly said, there's a couple main things why I enjoy Photoshop way more. One of them is there's Camera Raw, which is basically a built-in Lightroom in Photoshop. And they just now in the CC 2020, they came out with an update for the Camera Raw, which allows you to save presets in a way that all of your adjust all of your radio filters and everything stays in that preset when you save it. And before that didn't happen, at least on my computer. I'm not sure if I had it on it or something, but nowadays you can save presets, so it's basically a full working Lightroom, just like it's basically a faster Lightroom, which looks a bit worse but works better. So that's the first reason why I love Photoshop. And then the second one, I said already, it's a compositing thing. And then in general, Photoshop is just way faster than Lightroom. But what is good about Lightroom is that you can categorize your photos, you can bulk edit way better than you can in Photoshop. And yeah, basically in Photoshop editing, like let's say 60 images, is way slower than it would be in Lightroom, because in Lightroom you can just slap that one preset on top of everything. And yeah, that's basically why I love Photoshop so much more than Lightroom. And I personally don't use Lightroom for anything else than moving my artwork from Photoshop to Lightroom, and then from Lightroom to my Lightroom mobile C app, and then I just save it from there to my phone and upload to Instagram.
You mentioned before that you grew up in a really small town and that kind of affected your exposure to the rest of things. So how did you learn Photoshop? I mean, I'm sure there was someone who knew it before you who taught you, or was that through an online program? What was the system for that?
So for me, basically the only source where I learn nowadays from is courses. So I don't really check YouTube anymore that much for tutorials. I just buy courses out of Udemy or just search from Google for the topics I want to learn from. But in the beginning, I didn't have money to buy courses, or when I didn't have the understanding about things that much, I just wanted to learn the very basics of everything. And for that, always YouTube works. YouTube is the number one source for learning anything nowadays. And I just feel like there are still a lot of people who use YouTube in a way that is not really efficient for actually learning anything. It's just sort of watching unnecessary videos, which I also do a lot. But I also take my time in learning the things that I want to learn from that program. I mean, from YouTube, because it is literally the best platform for learning anything. And it's pretty obvious nowadays, but some people just don't still take advantage of it. And yeah, it's YouTube, but then nowadays courses. And I fully behind just learning from courses, because you get to learn someone's, basically you always get to learn everything about someone's work, not only like the basic stuff and a bit of here and there like on YouTube, but you actually learn from zero to the end result with everything that you want inside of courses. Of course, you need to then check which courses are good and which courses you can trust, but yeah, I just learn from courses nowadays.
So, as far as taking photos, I know we've talked a lot about that, but as far as taking photos, do you have any friends, like a group of friends that you go out and shoot with? Or, like, what's the situation with that? Because I know you're traveling with a lot of friends, but are they photographers, or are they just friends from your community, or what's the situation with that?
So in Finland, course, I have friends, but none of them are really interested in photography. So in Finland, I'm usually alone, or I don't even take images that much in Finland, to be honest. So when I'm in Finland, I focus on my well-being. I focus on staying healthy and working pretty much on stuff that I need to be working on. But I do have some photography friends in Finland, but they live in Helsinki or in the capital area, which is pretty far. Not that far, but like it's annoying to go from here with a bus to a city and then try to figure out like how do you meet up with them and all that. And basically, every single time I travel, it's with my photography friends. And I've been extremely lucky to find such an awesome group of friends who support and get excited about everything. And for me, it's just amazing to travel with them and get excited about locations together and then take photos. So yeah, I would say like literally every single friend I have outside of Finland are interested in photography. So I've surrounded myself pretty much with the hobby friends, and that's all I need, and that's all I want.
So your follower count on Instagram as of last night is currently sitting at 328,000 followers. What is it like having that many people view your content?
I would definitely say, and I know a lot of people would say who have quite a lot of followers would say that you don't really focus on that number at all after a certain point. I would say that the first 1,000 is exciting, the first 10,000 exciting, the first 100,000, like all of these milestone reaches are always exciting. But once you start to get more followers, you start to understand that the followers and the number itself doesn't really bring anything to you. But I have to admit that it is really, really awesome. I'm really lucky to be in the position where so many people are following my work and so many people are sending me nice messages all the time. My focus has never been on just purely growing the number there. My focus has always been in improving my work, surrounding myself with people inspiring me to be better at it, which leads, of course, to people.
Are these 4-pay courses your main source of income, or do you also have a job aside from creating and teaching others to create composites?
So for me, my main job is, of course, doing the courses right now, and it's heavily my personality to love teaching others. And I remember when I was a kid, I always got excited about if I was able to explain to someone how to do something, and I'm usually always could just talk for hours and hours and explain to other people how to do something that I know how to do. And it's been a part of me since forever, and it's sort of naturally happened that I'm doing teaching as my full-time job. But of course, with social media, there's side incomes. I have prints, I have brushes, I have image licensing work, and I'm doing collaborations nowadays. And there's just a lot of these small things on top of the courses, but the main source of income is teaching other people, and I like it that way. And I'm coming up with a lot of new ways to build new income sources, because with this job, you really never know how well something is gonna basically go. So if you work on a course for the whole year and you release it, there's no guarantee that will succeed. So you always have to have these plan Bs, and a lot of plan Bs always to just keep on pushing, because of course we creators also have to pay for stuff. There's rent, there's employees, there's like so many different basically expenses for the business that you have to keep care of it. And if you don't build new income sources all the time, you can't really continue this type of a job for a long time. So if there's anyone out really, really, really wants to think about, like really, really seriously think about building a career on Instagram or a true like path like I've done, you need to constantly be improving and constantly be looking at what's the next big thing how to stay basically ahead of your competition, but also at the same time focus on your health and focus on staying sort of on top of your mind instead of just trying to reach for more all the time. So it's this like dilemma all the time between like, do you want to focus on your health? Do you want to focus on your business? Because they sort of take off from each other. But you can definitely get more balance with your life in a way that the business is just on the side and it's fun like it is for me nowadays.
So I know you travel a lot. What percentage of your time would you say that you travel?
Nowadays, it's quite a lot less. I went to 19 countries in 7 months last year, and that was the first time I've ever traveled. So I basically traveled to so many countries last year that you are so done after that 7 months, even though it's the best time of your life and you learn so much about new cultures and you meet new people. It's socially exhausting, it's physically exhausting, and top of that, you just miss home. Like if you just love your family, you love being at home, and you're constantly gone, it's pretty hard to be gone. And I wanted to say come back this year and travel less, but I would still say that I'm away like 30 to 40% of the time from Finland. But yeah, home is always something that I appreciate a lot, and for my type of job, it's really hard to focus on traveling all the time because I don't get paid to travel. I pay for my travels myself. Sometimes there are collaborations that I have planned for the trips, but yeah, I would say 90% of the, even more, 95% of the time, I pay for everything myself, and I want to keep it that way because I don't want to travel for free like a lot of hashtag influencers are doing. So they travel the world, but they don't really get paid. So they get hotels for free, and they also get most of their, like, basically a lot of the expenses during their travels are paid already. But yeah, I don't want that type of situation for myself, so I prefer paying for things and having a job that to be at home to progress with it.
So I know you've mentioned paintings as an inspiration for you, especially for your composites. What are some art forms that inspire you?
I think it's for my type of style or my type of art, it's really hard to get inspired, at least for me. I don't personally get inspired by music or any of that, but movies are a big, really, really big inspiration. But music, not really that much, but it's basically paintings and music, and especially older paintings. I don't get really inspired by like newer type of painting styles, but it's those old oil paintings that really inspire me to create something similar. And and yeah, then when I see a beautiful scene in the movie, it always inspires me quite a lot to create something related to that. And yeah, on Instagram, it's also like, I think Instagram is a business and a thing that you need to be able to sustain for a longer amount of time if you want to make it, basically, yeah, if you want to make it sustainable, you need to think far, far in the future and not like close term. So even when there's a big movie coming out or when there's something trending going on in the world, it's always great to create art about that because it basically builds up the word that, hey, someone created now this piece related to this movie, for example, and then it usually goes viral or it gets more attention, and then that's how you can also grow your social platforms pretty well. And yeah, it's just like with everything related to this job or related to Instagram or anything, you always need to be thinking ahead and always need to be sure that you're not basically leaving anything on the table, because things can change really quickly, and if the only thing you're doing now is just basically like what a lot of people are doing is only selling presets. Well, the problem with presets is not that it wouldn't be good money. It's really good money. But at some point, people are going to get tired of that because they don't get enough value off from it. So that's why I personally don't sell presets, because I don't see a big future for them. And I always prefer giving people something more, giving people something that they can actually use for like their whole life and for their whole future. And that's basically what I'm all about. And that's, in my opinion, what could be the sustainable way to keeping a job out of social media.
This is the last question, because I know you have to make it to something else. But if you had some advice to give to someone who was aspiring to create a piece of artwork or create something to share with people, what would you, what advice would that be for someone young and aspiring in a creative field?
Whenever I get asked this question, I always answer the same way. And even though it's a pretty cliche and pretty general answer, I think it's the most important thing nowadays to remember, which is, if you are young, instead of, you can get inspired by a lot of people, but instead of falling into that thing that, oh, that's so cool that someone is doing that, I want to be doing that. If basically your only goal is to make it on the industry, if your only goal is to get followers or get to the point where someone is, you are basically always going to compete with someone instead of with yourself. And I think, especially if someone is young and wants to build a career out of something, that young person should understand and keep in mind that this career is not about having followers. This career is not about being able to share this to hundreds of thousands of people. It should always stay as your personal thing and as your personal improvement. And yeah, that's basically the main advice I want to give. And the other advice I always tell is that if you want to make it, if you actually want to get your work out there, which like everyone wants that. Everyone wants to be successful with the thing that they're doing, but the success shouldn't be the driving factor. But basically, if you want to make it on the industry, you have to do it daily. You have to cut down from other things that you do in your life. You have to cut down from watching YouTube 15 million hours a day. You need to cut off from watching Netflix millions of hours a day. You might even sometimes have to stop going out with your friends if you really, really, really want to focus on making this as a career, because it's really hard. It's not easy. And you have to put in thousands and thousands of hours of work to be able to get somewhere with it. And everything should always start with the passion and not with the idea of getting something by doing the thing that you love doing. So those are my three main advices for especially young creators who might be a bit confused still about what they want to do and what the reason for the things they want to be doing is.
Well, thank you, Julius, so much for coming on the show. And
no worries.
I hope you keep creating. I hope you keep succeeding at the same rate, and have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me. And yeah, basically, just remember the things that I just said, especially if you're young, because this is not a joke career. This is a real job, and you shouldn't start it with bad intentions. And that's what I want to end off this podcast with. And yeah, thanks for having me, and I hope you have a great day. And yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Alex Zirkus, signing out. Yeah.